T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sometimes it just happens. And honestly, a lot of times it's grinding through trials and going through moments like this where it seems like at times there's a wall and, you know, it becomes difficult, but you continue to push through it day by day and doing the little things right. And you keep working through it and you do it with one another. And then something is created throughout it. If you approach it the right way, I mean, that's a lot of things, you know, when difficult things happen, that's where you learn the most. So right now, we went out there today, we worked, we're about to have a film pretty soon. And that's really all you can do. Just stay positive, keep working together, keep believing in one another and playing for one another. That's all I know to do. And that's what we'll keep doing.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That's Nick Foles. That is the quarterback of the Bears, and he's talking about pushing each other through difficult periods of time, and God knows it's a difficult period of time for the Chicago Bears. And David, you know, we teased it before the break. We did make picks in the game. You heard Big Z talk about a low-scoring game and the Bears getting a win, and I think that's the only way they're going to win is a low-scoring game. What did you come up with?
Well, I think the Bears can win this game. I think I had the Bears winning 21-20. I don't have a lot of faith in the offense. I don't think anybody really should. I think the Bears defense is going to have to either score or shorten the field with a takeaway deep in Viking territory. They're capable of doing that. Look, Dalvin Cook has 360 yards in his last two outings, and so this is somebody that they're going to have to deal with and stop. And I don't know if they can, but, you know, he comes in with having 369 yards in his last two games. He's explosive. It was against the Packers and the Lions, step up in class against the Bears. But if you can find a way to bottle him up and force Kirk Cousins to be the one who has to beat you, I think that, you know, he doesn't have the same kind of weapons on the perimeter without Stephon Diggs there this year. And I don't think this offensive line from the Vikings is as good as some of that they've had. And their defense certainly isn't. So you have an opportunity if you're the Bears. And I do have them winning this game 21-20. But that's provided a lot of things go right on offense that, you know, they don't hurt themselves. They don't self-destruct. And I think that's a tall order. But that's basically the minimum bar for the Bears offense right now, is kind of stay out of your own way and don't kill your chance to win by self-inflicted mistakes.
Yeah, I think I took 19-17. I took the Bears in that game as well. And it comes down to a couple things. You know, Matt Nagy has had a pretty good record against Minnesota, and I really don't think he's had much to do with it. I think that Minnesota and the Bears defense, it's a bad matchup somehow for Minnesota. And, mm-hmm. and we talked to Big Z the other day, and it really bothers me that we all took the Bears, because I was very much teetering on which way to go. And now I feel like I may have gone the wrong way, because we're all like-minded, and that's usually a bad thing to have happen. But I do think that we all understand these moments in football seasons, and this is one of those moments. And if you are this defense, and if you do have a matchup advantage, then you've got to show up. and you've got to dominate the game. And I in my little pick, I've got the Bears scoring a defensive touchdown and getting a couple of takeaways because I can't imagine any other way they win. They're not going to win any kind of track meet. We know that. They really need to emphasize the defense. And if indeed there is a change in play caller, maybe that's the change. Maybe the change would be just to understand that you've got to do enough to help the defense, and the defense has to do things to help this offense because the offense is having a difficult time helping themselves. The worrisome element is the injury report, and no one wants to sit here and talk about injuries and go over, you know, who's in and who's out. And they had, you know, they had some resting veterans, Jimmy Graham and Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan were all given a day off to just have an extra day because they're aging. But what really bothered me is Jason Spriggs comes off the COVID list. Oh, he's going to be available. Okay. And then he can't practice because of a knee. So I was ready for the COVID issue. I didn't know there was going to be a knee issue too. Presumably he's starting at right tackle, but he couldn't practice because of a knee. Just saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I think that based on what we saw from Jason Spriggs in limited action, I don't know that you want to hold your breath and put too much confidence in his ability to change your mind and to influence your pick one way or another. I mean, he just wasn't good. He just really wasn't. Look, I waited until after hearing from Nagy yesterday. He seemed a little squirrely when it came to play calling again. I just don't know. The transparency obviously isn't there. He's not been as transparent about a lot of things this year as he had maybe been in the past, and that's understandable. But it does seem like if he is at least more collaborative in the approach to this offense and trying to figure out a way to, you know, call plays to set up other plays, not just kind of, oh, this is clever. Let's try to, we haven't tried this since, you know, week five of the 2018 season. Let's pull this out of our playbook deep on page 327. No. You call plays to set up other plays. You call something in the first quarter because you think you might go back to it in the third, and your tendencies are not as obvious. And I think if he gets some help there, and he sounded like he was open to that, this offense might be able to do just enough. The other factor, and I think this is terribly unfair, and I'm acknowledging that I'm risking being terribly unfair here. But as much as I believe the Vikings were doing the right thing in signing Kirk Cousins to an $84 million deal when they did it, he's winless on Monday Night Football. And I don't know what it is, but I think that's difficult to get past. And I think if it's hard for us to forget, it's got to be something that a guy as self-aware as Kirk Cousins is for him to overlook. It's got to be in his head. And if it's in his head, that helps the Bears.
And you know who's really good in front of the big cameras? There's a certain pass rusher that ends up being very good. And by the way, Khalil Mack not listed on the injury report. He doesn't have three different things going on, or if he does, he's keeping them to himself. He's practicing, and he's going to play, and here's hoping that all works out. But, you know, there are just games – there are games in seasons that matter more than others, and there are games in careers somehow that matter more than others. And I think that for the head coach, huge game for him. For the entire coaching staff, we've seen changes in that group. Big game for all of y'all. For the defense, stepping up in front of peers, this is where you get the awards and all the rest of it. And I think special teams, it's a very important time for them as well. I just because I can't include the offense in an area that really needs to shine, because mediocre would be a huge step forward for that offense.
Oh, you take mediocre. You would definitely take mediocre. Oh. They've been abysmal for two straight weeks and maybe longer. Look, the last time they were on prime time as well in this Monday night audience that they're going to be playing in front of once again, it wasn't that long ago. It was against the Rams, the Brian Griese, Nick Foles disagreement game. I think that and that can't be overlooked. And I know that only goes so far in terms of motivation, in terms of having a tangible impact on the outcome. But the Bears were embarrassed on national television. And if that doesn't mean something, yep, if you're a professional athlete, we have your pride wounded to that degree, I think that can't be overlooked as well. So there are a lot of factors that are in play here that tell me that the Bears have an opportunity against a guy that is winless on Monday Night Football. They have an opportunity to get well, to kind of stop this losing streak and to change the storyline and to start to play for the playoffs again instead of talking about everything that's wrong with this outfit.
Yeah, I'll be very curious to see how they look on offense, just how they look. I'm hoping that whatever way they started the game a week ago, they can maintain that kind of thing, just that vibe to them. I'm hoping that if there are any opportunities to score points, they'll take them and not overestimate what their backup, not very good offensive line can do. And we don't know where they're going to be at with the running back position, what a backup running back can do in short yardage. They seem to have struggled mightily in that area a week ago, and you know they're getting to a point, and you only see it with I understand what the math behind it is, but when you are increasingly desperate, you do things that you wouldn't have done earlier in the year. You go for different things, you try different things. That can blow up on you as quickly as it can heal anything. And when you get into that desperation mode, just again, we were looking for just be middle of the pack. That's all we wanted out of this offense. Now we're looking for if you could get to mediocre. Just strive for mediocre. Just don't be bad. Don't be bad. Try not to suck, as a famous baseball manager once said.
Do simple better. All these Joe Maddenisms.
Yes.
We miss Joe.
Yes.
You know, it's not as much desperation, even though that's a big part of it, as much as it is just execution. You've got to just do the little things better. And if you're Foles, I would expect, and Biggsy made a good point about Mike Zimmer and this not being your typical Viking defense. They'd like to sit back a little bit more conservatively. They can't take the chances that they once could take. But I do wonder as Mike Zimmer sits there and watches tape of Nick Foles, and he knows Nick Foles well because Nick Foles hurt him a couple years ago. Stationary quarterback who doesn't have a great receiving core, who has an offensive line that is weak. I think the Vikings may be coming after Nick Foles. I think they might be coming after the Bears in ways that maybe they haven't other teams because they've had better quarterbacks and offenses that could make them pay for that kind of aggressiveness. But I don't know that the Bears, until they prove that those risks aren't worth the reward, I would expect them to be more aggressive defensively than maybe we've seen from this Viking group through this part of the season.
Yeah, here's hoping. I mean that sometimes can blow up on you too. I mean I here's the thing about the Vikings is that they started the season so awful. And they are now starting to wake up and play their way into the season. And there are people that have them, believe it or not, as like a sneaky wild card playoff team. That they could, if they win this game, if they continue to win, they're starting to put some efforts together that are pretty impressive. Mainly with the running back and his health. He's a very up and down player. I mean, we haven't seen him. He's been really good, but we haven't seen him really good against the Bears, and we've seen him miss some of those games. He seems in and out with injury. I know he's healthy now, and I know it's a problem. It's all a problem, to quote a famous coach. But I think that the Bears, if they can make Cousins be the guy that has to beat them, they can win the game.
It's all a problem.
Yeah, I think that is true. That the tricky part is stopping Dalvin Cook and tackling Dalvin Cook in a way that you bottled up Derrick Henry, but it was different. I think Derrick Henry wears you down.
Yes.
Dalvin Cook is just get more explosive and can run away from you rather as well. He can run through you, but he's less likely to do that. And he is also playing at a high level. You know, he comes in here coming off a 206-yard effort against the Lions, 163 against the Packers. And that's the challenge in front of the Bears. So they need to tackle, they need to swarm, and they do need to make Kirk Cousins be the guy. If they're going to beat you on Monday night, it's got to be because of the quarterback who can't win on Monday night.
All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to get to your calls on this. We're going to bring in Casey Johnson next. The NBA draft is next week, and there is they're starting to do their Zoom calls with players, and it's kind of interesting to hear what's being said and what isn't being said and who's meeting with whom and all the rest of it. So we'll get to some Bulls talk with KC next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Do not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. We always love to talk to our guy KC Johnson. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. KC, how are ya?
Hey, KC.
What's going on, guys? How you been, man?
Oh, we are we're living the dream, and the real dream comes Wednesday. At Wednesday here, we have the Bulls ready with the number 4 pick. Will they trade up? Will they trade down? Will they stay there? What are you hearing? Who do they take? Tell us. Just break it all down.
I have no idea on any of those questions. How about that for some good radio? No, I mean, obviously you're talking to a lot of people this time of year. You know, Arturis and Mark Eversley are going through this process with this organization for the first time. And Arturis is known around the league as being a pretty close to the vest guy. You know, I've talked to enough people around the league to have an idea of what they value, what they like, but obviously they're not driving the draft. I have written at NBCSportsChicago.com, and I do think that they're focused on point guard. I'm not saying they're going to pick a point guard, but I know that's an off-season focus for them, and this draft certainly affords some opportunity at that position, the big name, of course, being LaMelo Ball. I've also reported that it's their belief at this point that it would take a trade up to get Ball. You know, I think most people assume that Ball will be one of those first three picks, so if you've identified him as that guy that you have to have, you're probably going to have to give up an asset to go get him. You know, sitting at 4, there will be, if they stay there, a good player will probably drop to them. At this point, I think the draft board of Edwards, Wiseman, Ball being those first three picks is probably accurate. There is some talk that Charlotte's pretty intrigued with Onyeka Okongwu out of USC, the big man, and I know the Bulls like him as well. So there's a lot out there, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more between now and Wednesday.
And part of that will be some speculation, KC, over Russell Westbrook and his trade demand, or the fact that it's been reported, not a demand, but he's unhappy in Houston. Obviously, with Billy Donovan having coached Westbrook, you wonder about the fit in Chicago. I look at that and think you get a guy at $40 million a year the last 3 years of his contract. He's in decline. That's a lot of money. At the same time, we have talked about how the Bulls aren't going to get a superstar until maybe there's a disgruntled superstar that wants out of his current situation, and this certainly would fit that criteria. What are the realistic chances of that, you know, even having the Bulls show interest, and what are the pros and cons?
Well, you've listed some of the pros and cons. I mean, certainly star power would be, you know, a pro and, you know, elite play at times. And, you know, for all the force of nature, personality stuff you hear about Westbrook, you also never hear a bad word about him as a teammate. I mean, he brings it every night, obviously plays at an extremely high intensity level every night. And, you know, everybody else has to fall in line with that because of just his style of play. You know, I, as far as fit, again, speculative questions for me about Arturis and Mark are a little difficult. I mean, I've met Arturis in person twice in my life, and I've never met Mark Eversley in person in my life. In this world that we're living in, we're doing things via Zoom. So I don't quite know how they view such big swing opportunities yet. I will say that in my conversations around the league since the Westbrook news has broken, I haven't heard much linkage of the Bulls to that a possibility. I think the money would be one situation where you're kind of obviously putting all your chips into one basket around one guy. And just in terms of team building, you know, if you hit your wagon to Russell Westbrook, I mean, that's your guy from 32 to 35. And it just, my speculative guess would be, that's not the way that Arturis and Mark plan to go about building this team. There's also the question about usage. I mean, he's obviously got the ball in his hands a lot. And, you know, the way Arturis has talked about wanting to play is a little bit more, you know, nugget or oriented, which is player movement, ball movement, passing, read and react, cut, share the ball. So, yeah, I think there's a lot out there and it's fun to talk about. I would personally put the chances at pretty low of that happening.
Yeah, I don't agree with that idea at all, to be honest with you, Casey. I mean, he's a great player, but he's a ball dominant guard, and you'd just be bringing in a guy to watch play. Let's all stand back, including his teammates, and watch him play. And I'm not dissing him as a teammate. He's not a 3-point shooter. There's a lot of reasons that that you would be hesitant about that. I'm with you. I haven't met any of these guys other than talking to them on the radio. But I would guess that you want to follow kind of the blueprint that you saw with the Nuggets, and that would mean kind of putting together a team that is very team oriented. And I'm not sure that is what Russ does. I'm also not sure who in this draft really fits that. And I think that we keep hearing rumors about different players that they like. But what do you see, Casey? Who, if you were picking a player for the Bulls right now, who would it be out of this group?
Yeah, that's a tough one because I think, you know, I think Ball is number one on their list. And like I said, I think you need to trade up to get him at this point. There was a little brief moment 2 days ago where I thought there's a chance he might fall to four because Edwards is going to be a top three pick. That's what you hear from everybody. And, you know, if Golden State keeps that pick, they're pretty much around the league, you hear that they're pretty much linked to Wiseman. Charlotte, as I mentioned before, has shown some interest in Okongwu. So that would be the scenario in which Ball would fall. But now it sounds like that's not going to happen. So then Okongwu would be there for you at four. And I know the Bulls are intrigued by him, but you know, that's duplication of Wendell Carter Jr. Now, Arturis has flat out said publicly and has shown in the past with the Jokic-Nurkic draft in Denver that he and Tim Connelly engineered that duplication does not bother him. If the number one player on your board is there and you've got somebody on your roster that already plays that position, that doesn't matter. You draft that person, you figure it out later. So I think Okongwu would be a possibility if he's there at four. And, you know, I know they like Kyra Lewis Jr., the Alabama point guard, whose, you know, stock is rising, but is he worth a number four pick? I don't know the answer to that, you know. So is there a possibility where you can trade down and maybe pick up another asset and get that guy? As I mentioned before, I know they're focused on point guard. Again, I don't know if that's going to happen via the draft or free agency, but I think they want to solve this point guard issue, and I think they see this offseason as an opportunity to do that. And then the last one I would say that has been linked to them by a lot of mock drafts, and I've had very little of a success trying to figure out where they stand on this guy, is Denny Avdija. I don't know, and just the fact that I have not heard much linkage to them leads me to suggest to me that that's not likely a possibility. But you know, I've been wrong many times before, so you know, that's another name you hear out there. But long-winded answer, I'm going to go with Okongwu or Lewis. How about that? Those are my. That's assuming Ball is not there, or you don't trade up to get Ball if you're staying it. So that's my answer. Okay. If you're staying at four.
I like Avdija. I like that possibility, and obviously you don't know who's going to be available, but if things fall a certain way, he could be, and even though he's not been linked, talk me out of that, Casey. Why the hesitation? And I know the over-the-top comparisons will be to Luka, and that's not fair to either guy, but he is from what you see in the highlights you watch, he is impressive in a lot of ways, and he's young and can still develop.
Very much a team-oriented guy, too. I mean, I've had a couple of Zoom availabilities with him, and says the right things, and very much about, you know, not about himself and about, you know, how he can make the team better. So impressive kid, just in the interview process. The shooting, it worries me. You know, I know that people can work on that and improve on that, but the shooting worries me, particularly the free throw percentage. That's a red flag, a little bit of a red flag to me. And just to the people that I've talked to about him, who have scouted him, a lot of them say, nice player, but kind of like jack of all trades and really master of none. You know, just kind of like a complimentary player. They don't see a lot of star potential there. And that's just the conversations I've had. You know, I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I'm watching the guy on YouTube videos and then talking to people that have seen him. So I haven't seen him personally, and I, you know, don't spend as much time on this as people that are paid to do so do. So, you know, if he's the pick, then that's who they believe in. I just, what I focus on is what I hear about, you know, linkage, and I just have not heard much linkage from the Bulls and him to this point.
Right, and there's questions about his right hand, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty versatile, and he can, he would fit in the sense the Bulls are lacking two-way players and playmakers, and I think there's some potential for him to be a little bit of a playmaker. He seems like a guy, you know, that fits into an offensive system and reads and reacts and is versatile and positionless and things like that. So in that sense, you know, there are some positives there. I'm not saying this guy's a bad player. I'm just saying that I personally have not heard them linked to him very much to this point.
KC, thank you, buddy. Great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right,
KC.
Guys. Good talking to you. Thanks.
You too.
That's fascinating. Can't wait to see what they do. I mean, they could do anything, right? And there's all sorts of rumors floating around. But who knows? Maybe they'll just do something that you kind of scratch your head about. That's usually what Mark Rohde does when he's with us. He does something that makes you wonder.
Grody, it's November 13th and uh-huh. December 1st, training camp starts for the Bulls. Oh. Before then, they'll have free agency. And then the draft is next Wednesday. This is going to be like a compressed NBA explosion in the next 3 weeks. Crazy.
I know. It's amazing. It's, and I'm already thinking, too, David, about the fact that it's not going to be long from now when we're all saying pitchers and catchers report. You know what I mean? Like, that's going right, to all of a right. sudden just be right in front of us. It's just, like, the Masters is now. We had a horse yeah. race. Like, it's yeah. just everything. Yeah. It's all happening. And
it is.
right. I the Masters. That's right. Yeah.
And the Bears season could be ending on Monday. Who knows?
That's very true. This is the must-win of all. Well, you know, Mully, you're not far off because they get the bye, and then they're at Green
yes,
Bay out of
yes.
the bye. So
important game
yeah,
to win.
I mean, you don't win against Minnesota. We could be looking at a five-game losing streak. But let's stay positive. Let's see.
Mully Ed Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, what a delight to welcome in our man in Vegas, Joe Fortenbaugh. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Joe, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning, Joe.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the invite to join you on the show. Monday Night Football in Chicago, the Vikings coming to town. What's the pulse of the people right now?
Faint. Faint pulse there, Joe. Not a whole lot of confidence in the beloved, but Kirk Cousins, where there's a will, there's a way, and if there's Kirk Cousins, it gives you a little confidence if you're a Bears fan.
Jam that guy up, to be honest with you. Just jam him up. Right now, you've got a Minnesota team that's done what? They've been cashing tickets as of late. They've covered 5 of 6, and you got the point spread moving to the Vikings as well. So the Bears are catching 2, 2.5 at home on Monday Night Football. If you can come anywhere close to limiting Dalvin Cook, you're going to be in a great situation because we know Cousins in prime time. Everyone's going to throw those numbers out there. But look at what this team's done on third down this season. They're 25th in the NFL on third down. The reason they're having so much success as of late is because Dalvin Cook is able to take all the pressure off of Cousins and the $30 million a year he's making, and he's able to put the guy in manageable situations where no one's asking him to win the game. That's where Cousins thrives, is where he's not facing any pressure. So now he's coming outdoors, on the road, Monday Night Football. A lot of pressure on this Vikings team at the moment. Meanwhile, no one's interested in betting the Bears whatsoever at this point. Chicago's done pretty well against the run. If you're looking at opponent yards per carry, it's just 4.1. That's tied for 9th in the NFL. I'm not saying I'd bet the Bears, but I will say that come Monday night, if they're sitting at +2, you can tease that up to +8. I think they can keep it within 8. Now you need someone else to tease them with. Baltimore's a great option. Tampa Bay's a great option. I'll just get you started by throwing that off right at the top. By the way, congratulations to Jose Abreu. 60-1 cashes that ticket as the AL MVP. No problems with the White Sox whatsoever. It's all smooth sailing.
Nice.
Yeah, what is Tony La Russa right now for manager of the year? I got to get down.
Yeah.
What a team, though. What a team with a bright future when you look at all the talent. It's interesting the decision they make because you put yourself in a spot, and we see this every now and again. It's never really all that advantageous when you haven't even gotten to the point where the guy's shown up for day one on the job, and you've already got controversy where the fan base doesn't like the hire, and there's already some off-the-field incident that you have to work your way through. So we'll see how that one plays out. I'm sure you guys will be on top of it.
All right, Joe, we don't know what college games are going to be played this week, but I assume there are going to be a few, and if that's the case, then I know you have some favorites.
All right, so let's start with this. And this is exactly what goes on in college football this year, and it's why you have to treat this as entertainment. You have to take your time. You don't want to overextend yourself when you're betting. I love Stanford last week. I mean, I woke up Saturday morning. I was really looking forward to that game. It was going head-to-head with Notre Dame-Clemson. I was going to have them side-by-side on TV. Stanford was like my favorite play. It's like 90 minutes before kickoff. The line goes berserk against me, and I'm sitting there thinking, this can't be good. And then I find out I've lost my starting quarterback in Davis Mills and my top wide receiver due to COVID. Those are the breaks this year. You got to roll with that stuff. Sometimes you're going to catch them, sometimes you're not. So with college football, like we've been saying from the beginning, you've got to take your time with some of this stuff. Don't overextend it. I wanted to come on and say play Cal +3.5 against Arizona State. Teams that are making their debut against teams that have already played a game. The team making their debut this season, they've been fantastic against the spread. I think they're covering north of 70% of those games. Cal's got 18 starters back, 10 on offense. Justin Wilcox is a fantastic coach. I don't know how many guys they're going to lose due to contact tracing, especially in this Arizona State matchup where they just blew it against USC. So that's what I'm looking at. It's not what I'm necessarily playing. The few I'm looking at in college football, I'll give you two right off the bat. I'm going to lay the 3 with West Virginia over TCU. I love this defense. We've been talking about West Virginia on this show. Love this defense. The rarity in college football where you have a defense that wraps up and tackles. They've been doing it week in and week out. They went to Texas last week, and they covered. The defense played great. The week before, they smothered Kansas State and covered that spread as well. They don't have a great record, and offensively, they don't put up a ton of points, but they're a very good defense. defense, and they're capable of controlling tempo and clock. So I'm going to lay the three with West Virginia over TCU. I'm also going to dabble with Boston College against Notre Dame. I know no one in Indiana or Illinois or anywhere in the Midwest is going to want to hear that because their beloved Fighting Irish are coming off that huge win, but that's exactly why I'm going to play it. Notre Dame's now in the driver's seat. They just need to get through the schedule, and they're going to the playoff. It's a massive fan base, lots of money, big TV appeal, so don't screw it up. You don't need to go out and cover spreads. You don't need to impress anyone anymore. You just did that. So you're coming off this huge win. Everyone's celebrating in South Bend last week, going crazy on the field. Meanwhile, here's Boston College. 2 weeks ago, they gave Clemson a run for their money. Last week, they kind of fall flat in a win, a small win, over a terrible Syracuse team. They were looking ahead to this. This is a lot of points to lay for Notre Dame coming off that huge win, 13.5. I'm playing Boston College. One other game I'm going to throw out there just as an alert. Virginia Tech somehow is laying 2 against Miami. That game stinks. All right, Miami's 6-1. They've won 3 straight. They're having a very nice season under Manny Diaz. You look at Virginia Tech, they've lost 2 of 3. They just got beat last week outright by Liberty. They were 17-point favorites, and they lost outright. So if you're looking at that game, something stinks, the fact that Miami is catching a couple points there. That's where we stand with college. Playing Boston College, playing West Virginia. Be very weary of playing Miami. Kind of considering Cal if I don't end up with 36 guys that are out due to contact tracing.
All right. Are the pros looking good? I mean, at least we know they're playing.
Yeah, big card this week for the pros. So let's start with a game no one's going to want to bet. I am going to take the 1.5 with the Chargers over the Dolphins. Now, you know, say what you want. If you're a glutton for punishment here, betting Chargers games are not for the faint of heart. So if you have high blood pressure issues, if you have heart issues, if you have suffer from like Jason Day with vertigo, don't watch the game. Don't bet the game. The Charger games are not for you. You want something a little bit more casual. But I'm getting involved here. Miami's 2-0 under Tua. But take a look at this. If you combine the box scores in terms of total yardage from the game against the Rams and the game against the Cardinals, they have been outgained by 456 yards. They have lost the box score in both games. Last week, Cliff Kingsbury managed the Cardinals right out of that game. That was 100% on him with that boneheaded decision-making. 4th-and-1, give it to Chase Edmonds, who's averaging 2.7 yards per carry, rather than Kyler Murray, who's had the team on his back all season long. Idiot. What an idiot decision. That, the timeout at the end of the half, Kingsbury has no idea what he's doing with some of this stuff. But clearly I was on Arizona last week, yeah, which is why I'm venting right now.
Clearly, Joe.
So now you see Miami. They've won 2 in a row. They're the talk of the town. Everyone loves Tua. The Chargers are the kings of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. The game's in Miami. It opens Miami -3. It gets bet down to Miami -1.5. That is a major, major red flag that's going up right there. I'm going to follow the steam. I'm going to play the Chargers. Number 2, another game no one's going to want to play. I'm going to take the 10 with the 49ers against the Saints. So the last time we saw the 49ers, they were getting rolled on Thursday night at home against the Packers. Last time we saw the Saints, they were rolling the Buccaneers on Sunday night in front of the entire world. Everyone's going to be lining up to bet the Saints here because we suffer from recency bias. So they think, oh, they're going to blow this Niner team out. Well, the Niners still have a lot of injuries, but a lot of these dudes are coming back. The wide receiver unit's going to be back. They're going to have some capable players out there. 10 points off that win against Tampa Bay, way too much. This is the NFL. Shanahan, I have some faith he'll be able to scheme something up and keep them close. I'm going to take the 10 with the Niners. Number 3, I'm going to lay the 7 with Baltimore against New England. Rule number 1 in the NFL betting, if you make the Jets look like a competent offense, I'm betting against you. And that's exactly what happened last week. Jets scored 27 points, put up 300-plus yards. Joe Flacco looks like he's worthy of a starting gig. That was a pathetic effort from that Patriot defense. They stink this year. And offensively, they rank like 28th in passing. So if they can't run the ball, and you can't run the ball if you get down big in a game, they're not going to be able to keep pace with the Ravens. I know Baltimore's got some problems, but I don't see them having them this week against New England. I also think That is an excellent six-point teaser play. You can go ahead and you can tease them with the next team I'm playing, which is Tampa Bay. I'll lay the six against Carolina. Panthers have dropped three straight. They've been a nice story this year, but they're 31st on defense when it comes to opponent third downs. Teddy Bridgewater's a covering machine, but so is Brady in this spot. In his career off a double-digit loss, he's 19-6 against the spread. They were humiliated in that game. Brady's been posting inspirational messages on Instagram all week long. He's probably annoying the hell out of his teammates to the point where they're just going to want to throttle these guys to shut him up so he'll stop sliding into their DMs trying to get them ready to play football. So that's where we stand for the pro card. Chargers plus 1.5, Niners plus 10, Ravens minus 7, Bucks minus 6. I'll give you a fifth one, too. I am going to play the Rams minus 1.5. That Seattle defense is terrible. 32nd in total defense, 30th in scoring defense. They'll stop anybody. And the Rams have 2 weeks to get ready for this game with Sean McVay getting ready for that defense. A lot of points in that one, in my opinion. I play the Rams. So that's where we are with the pro card. Reminder that we're playing West Virginia and Boston College on the college card. Want to play Cal, need to follow contact tracing, see what happens there, and be very weary of Miami. That line stinks.
You can see Joe weekdays, the Daily Wager, 5 p.m., and, of course, he hosts College Game Day on radio on Saturdays. Joe, you are a champion. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Monday night, Bears, Vikings, get LaRusse out there to flip the coin for the ceremonial coin toss.
Get him a car.
Great idea.
All right, buddy.
Go Bears!
Oh, you're the best. That's our guy. That's Joe Fortenbaugh. That's so mean. But you know what? That's the kind of thing you're going to hear all year long there, David. I know that you've kind of started it, but Joe.
Yeah, blame me. Hey, as long as Tony has a driver, get him to Soldier Field safely, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, that's one way of looking at it. All right, we're gonna get into that. We're gonna talk about what's going on, all things White Sox. We've got a great beat writer, James Feakin, doing a wonderful job for The Athletic. We're gonna talk to him. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.